Right now, new research published by scientists at UW-Madison looks at the health risks facing the older adult population living with autism spectrum disorder, or ASD. In the 1990s, the number of children diagnosed on the autism spectrum shot up dramatically. While the numbers of older adults with ASD is growing, autism research frequently focuses on children and adolescents. Lauren Bishop Fitzpatrick is an assistant professor of social work at UW-Madison and a researcher at the UW-Madison Weissman Center. She's the lead author of a new study about the increased health risks older adults with autism spectrum disorder may be facing. Lauren, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
First of all, can you talk a little about what in your work led you to this particular study?
Yeah, so I've always studied adults on the autism spectrum, but I think that something that a lot of people don't know is that autism has a really relatively brief diagnostic history, in that the first person ever diagnosed with autism, the first case, is currently in his 80s.
Oh, wow.
So, at this point, we know very, very little about the types of outcomes that people on the autism spectrum have in midlife and old age, and then more specifically, their health problems. And we've heard for many, many years from families that people on the spectrum have different types of health problems as they get older, and they might also have different health care needs and health needs.
And what are some of the conditions or diseases that people on the autism spectrum are more likely to have? I have to admit, I was surprised to find out that there were those correlations.
Yeah, so this is the first study that we know of, at least, to look at the health histories of people on the autism spectrum. So we had a lot of data to look at this on a sample of people on the autism spectrum who had died. And we found that we've known for a long time that people on the spectrum have high rates of things like epilepsy and digestive problems. But in this sample, we were able to see that they also had really high rates of cardiovascular problems, as well as motor problems, ear problems, infections. And then we also saw lots of long-term medication use and its side effects.
And was that surprising to you? Did you expect that many things to be connected to being on the spectrum?
Yeah, I think that when we were going into this study, we thought that we might see a couple of things that were elevated, so that people on the spectrum had higher prevalence of a few conditions that might be particularly high in other populations with developmental disabilities like Down syndrome. We see that things like Alzheimer's disease are much more prevalent. So we thought that we would find a few small things in people on the spectrum. What we didn't expect is that we would see either similar or higher prevalence of almost all things except for cancer and hypertension and alcohol abuse. So that to us was very, very surprising.
I know you said, Lauren, that the oldest person that has been diagnosed with autism is in his 80s. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that you're going to need more years of research and data to know this, but can you make some assumptions about life expectancy for people on the spectrum based on those correlations that you just talked about?
Yeah, so, I think that, so I want to preface this by saying that this research is, at this point, still really in its infancy. So in this study, we did look at life expectancy. There have been a couple of other studies that have looked at life expectancy in people on the autism spectrum, and they found between I'd say 15 and 30 year decrease life expectancy in people on the autism spectrum. There was a recent study conducted by a group in Sweden where they have access to really nice population level data that found a 20 year decrease life expectancy, and we replicated that in this study. There are some limitations to our ability to do this at this point, just because we have this big group of people who are diagnosed with autism in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. So our cohort of people on the autism spectrum hasn't quite gotten to the point where we could give really accurate estimates of life expectancy. Mm-hmm. And we, at this point, think that the current generation of older adults with autism might look a little bit different from the current generation of young adults with autism. Because diagnostic practices have changed, the current generation of older adults may have more instances of intellectual disability or other developmental disabilities or mental health challenges that the younger generation of people don't have.
We're talking with Lauren Bishop Fitzpatrick. She's an assistant professor of social work at UW-Madison, also a researcher at the UW-Madison Weissman Center. And we're talking about, she's the lead author of a new study. We're talking about that study about the health risks older adults with autism spectrum disorder may be facing. And Lauren, one of the things in preparing for this interview that I was thinking about is, now you have this information that there are these correlations for people living on the spectrum and these certain chronic diseases or conditions. What are the added challenges in treating those people in a way that might be different than people in the general population who are not on the spectrum?
Yeah, I think that I think we do need to do some more work in this area to better understand mechanisms. But something that I commonly hear from people on the spectrum about interfacing with healthcare systems is that, so when you think about people on the spectrum, they, by virtue of their condition, have sensory challenges that make new environments and environments with lots of stimuli, so bright lights, you know, lots of noises, beeping sounds, lots of different things going on in the background, things like that difficult, and then also communicating with people difficult. People on the spectrum may also feel pain differently. So they may, you know, also have differences in the ways that they experience illness or disease. And I think that all of these things really coalesce in a way that could be really disadvantageous to people on the spectrum in healthcare settings, because they're in a new environment. They're in an environment with bright lights. They're in an environment with lots of noise. They're having to communicate with their doctors in a really, really quick interaction that doesn't leave a lot of room for parsing through some of the communication challenges that they might experience.
And I would think, too, depending, I mean, the spectrum is very broad, but depending on where someone might be on the spectrum, it might also involve a parent or a caregiver or something. And so that could add a whole other dimension that there's almost an intermediary that has to also be accommodated.
Right. So, and the intermediary has to also know about the health problems that they may be experiencing or the ways that their body has changed. And I think that another really complicated thing about this is that by the time that people on the spectrum reach middle age, their parents are likely in old age. So when we start to see health problems emerge in the general population in middle age, we would think that people on the spectrum might need more support at doctor's offices, but parents may be unable to provide the same level of support that they were at earlier phases.
And they might be dealing with their own very serious health issues as well. You collected data for this research using something called machine learning. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we didn't collect data for this research. We used data from the electronic health records of people on the spectrum who had received care at the Marshfield Clinic. So what we did with this is that we used, and the Marshfield Clinic, I want to say, has a really wonderful and unique data resource to do this kind of population level research. They've had electronic health records for a very long time, and they make them accessible to researchers who have strong partnerships like we do at the Waisman Center. And so what we did with this is we used essentially an algorithm to be able to discover new information about the types of health problems that might distinguish people on the spectrum from people in the general population. And what this algorithm does is it combines data in a way that can identify patterns that might distinguish these groups that you wouldn't be able to find if you were to just guess at what things might be different. Mm-hmm. So it's a data-driven approach to look at new research questions.
And I thought it was really interesting because not only were you able to pull out people who had these particular conditions, you were actually able to turn it around and say, oh, this person, mm-hmm. you know, this data point has this combination. They are likely on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So is there a way that you can use that information in a different way to support people who are living on the spectrum?
Yeah, well, and I think that one of the things that's interesting about this is that we did this just based on their health problems, not on their developmental history, not on their autism diagnosis, not on mental health problems. This was just based on the health problems they'd had. I think that it would require more testing, but in theory, we might be able to use something similar to this to be able to screen for autism, especially in adults where we know that diagnosis is really hard to come by and really difficult to get somebody who can do the diagnosis. So I think it does have potential in the future, but this at this point, I think, is a pilot kind of thing where we need to do a little bit more work.
Sure. And Lauren, as we start to wrap up, what's your hope for how this research, this data, as you get more data on people who are living longer on the spectrum and you have that information, what's your hope for what this can mean for healthcare provision for people living with autism spectrum disorder?
Yeah. So, you know, I think that really the goal of this research and the goal of all research that focuses on health and aging and people on the autism spectrum should be to help people on the spectrum live long, healthy, and self-determined lives in their communities, and to help them get the best access to care available and the most tailored health care available to them. So my hope is that we can do more to figure out mechanisms that can help us reach solutions to change the system to help people on the spectrum live better lives for longer.
Well, Lauren, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Lauren Bishop Fitzpatrick is an assistant professor of social work at UW-Madison and a researcher at UW-Madison's Weissman Center. She joined us to talk about new research that finds that older adults with autism spectrum disorder may be at greater risk for developing several health problems, including cardiovascular and respiratory issues.